I'm so blessed. Kane on FM 90.3 WJTL. It's a Randy Stonehill winning Wednesday, and the man himself joins us now on the afternoon drive. Randy, it is so great to have you back on JTL, and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I have such rich and long history with the station, so it's kind of my home away from home. But you don't have to feed me, so that's the plus.
So I'm curious, Randy, where in the world are you today, and is it hot?
Well, yes, it is. There is warmth, but it's certainly not as hot as some other places in our nation. My wife and I are home off the road here for a while in South Carolina, a little town called Casey, right near the capital of Columbia.
So at least it's not Phoenix.
Right, yeah. You got to sort of look at that. In this situation, you know, it's a semi-tropical climate. And so we say, well, but that's nice. The combination of the heat and the humidity, you know, by golly, it makes your hair rock star fluffy.
Oh, yes, it does.
You got to look for the positive side of things.
Yes, that's what I always try to do. And I definitely have rock star friendly hair in this kind of weather.
You rock, girl.
Oh, so Randy, this tribute album that we are giving everyone a chance to win this week and especially today, it celebrates 50 years of the industry for you. Congrats on that milestone.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a reminder of God's incredible faithfulness and generosity to be getting to serve him with the musical gifts he bestowed, you know, all these years, and having any participation in kingdom business is something that never gets old to me.
You have to be so pleased with the album, so many of your musical friends coming together to put their voice to your music. We have been playing on a regular basis the Jars of Clay song and the Sixpence cover of King of Hearts. Can you talk a bit about the album? I know it was a Kickstarter project. How did the artists and the songs come together? How do you narrow down the songs for this project?
Well, the songs were narrowed down as the artists were coming to the table, so to speak. I really just had a sort of informal backseat, sort of co-executive producer capacity. So I really wasn't very hands-on with this, except that the main producer would come to me and say, you know, Buddy and Julie Miller reached out, or as we were looking at just artists, various artists' names, Sarah Groves, for instance, and he would say, so given their style and sensibilities, what do you think would be some good song options to offer? And so we'd kind of scratch our chins together and go, put our heads together and go, well, okay, I think this song in particular fits that person's style and approach. So we would present two or three options to the various artists and just see which things kind of lit them up. And then we would, for the most part, we would defer to their choice.
It's probably not fair to ask, and I hate favorite questions, but are there any songs, I promise I won't tell, any songs that are, you know, especially close to your heart on this project?
Yeah, you know, let me say, in terms of the big picture, I really liked everything that happened. And it was refreshing to hear, and kind of surreal, I got to say, to hear my songs coming back at me through the filter of these other artists' talents and perception, you know. So there are a lot of surprises that I really didn't expect. So yeah, the reality is I liked and respected it all, but there were two or three things that just really, really touched my heart. Russ Taff's amazing rendition of Remember My Name, which is one of the most intense, painful, beautiful musical prayers. I mean, he turned that song into that for me. One of the most intense, anointed things I've ever heard. Mm. First time I heard it, actually, it just brought tears to my eyes. And my wife, Leslie, happened to be, she got her phone out and she was videoing me just casually just to get my response the first time we heard it. And I was like weeping like a child. Mm-hmm. It's so great. Of course, my wonderful friend, Phil Keggy, Rex did a great job on Lazarus Heart. Sarah Groves took, it was actually a medium-paced rocker that I wrote years ago. And when my friend Amy Grant was looking for material for one of her records, and so I wrote this kind of rollicking thing called Born to Love, and it didn't really fit her particular body of work, so they didn't cut the song. I ended up recording it myself, you know, a while later. But then when we reached out to Sarah Groves, who's one of my personal favorite artists, she took the song and transformed it into this beautiful, haunting ballad that to me sounds like it should be something in a movie soundtrack. Daryl Doherty doing an amazing job of Last Time I Saw Eden. The Lost Dogs doing a brilliant job of this song from a song called Between the Glory and the Flame, which came out, you know, in 1980 or 81 on the album of the same title. So like I said, yeah, there are a handful of things that just rocked me back on my heels. And the whole thing, I guess really the beauty of the project is that it's so colorful and diverse. I'm just touched and blown away by the whole thing.
Well, coming up after our conversation, I'm going to give everyone another chance to win the album. And what's really cool is you autograph these CDs. It's a double disc. And the grand prize winner is going to get the project on vinyl. So how fun is that? And yes, we do still have a turntable here in the studio, I am very proud to say. So is there anything else you want our listeners to know about this album before they listen?
I would say, I guess the most powerful thing about the recording is that you hear the artists' hearts of faith, their hearts for God. I think that's what I've always, you know, wanted to articulate through my songs. And I think it just came out very powerfully because you have this cross-section of very talented people who've walked the walk, you know, for so many years. You know, that's just the most beautiful kind of overarching element of the whole project. It's really about Jesus and how he uses the beautiful gift of music to sneak behind the human armor and really speak to our souls.
Well, Randy, we love when you talk with Terry Phillips on the archives. Many of our listeners have been following your music since the 1970s and know so much of your history. And I've heard many interviews here, especially with Terry on JTL. But for those who have not, because we're celebrating here 50 years in the music business, I just wanted to bring up your first album, Born Twice. Am I correct in saying that came out in 71 with some help from Pat Boone?
Yes, that's right. Pat graciously loaned, I think it was $4,000 to me and to the late, great Larry Norman, really one of the founding voices of contemporary Christian music. And for $4,000, Lisa, we made not one, but two albums for that. We made Larry's was called Street Level, like Let's Take the Gospel to the Streets. And mine was called Born Twice. And I got to say, young lady, it was decidedly lo-fi, but it had heart. We knew who we were serving, and it turned out to be one of the seminal works of the whole genre. Mm-hmm. You know, there just really wasn't, around that time, there was precious little that you would identify as kind of contemporary music with a Christian message. As a matter of fact, when Larry and I started working together and we were looking for distribution for our little records, he was talking to stores or companies and he said, you know what, file this under Jesus Rock. Yeah, because it's because Jesus is the rock, and because and this is rock. I want you to get this right. This is rock and roll, but it's about Jesus. So just if because they didn't even have a category in stores, they're going, what is this stuff? We're going, well, it's new. That's what it is. It's new, and it points to God. And so Larry, who was so such a visionary guy, he said, yeah, let's clarify things. File it under Jesus Rock, Yeah, and that's and the rest is history.
Ah, I do have to tell you, Randy, speaking of some earlier music, I do have to smile and kind of chuckle anytime I play Turning 30. I'm thinking, oh, wow, Turning 30. You make it sound old, but you were just a kid.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's, now I'm 71, and it's funny to look back at that mile marker, but you know, it is in terms of our culture, that can be an emotional landmark for people. They go, well, okay, I'm not a kid in my 20s anymore. I'm starting to head toward middle age. And I was going, oh man, no. Be in the now. With you. The song was my way of saying, look, treasure these days that God gives. The best part about it is not, it's not how old or how young you are. It's your relationship with your Creator. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So, but yes, yeah, so I wrote that to try to as a song of gratitude and to try to give people a sort of godly perspective about that time in life. And now it's so funny, being 71. You know, I can look back and you feel like going. You just kind of remember like. As a kid growing up, there was always probably one or two kind of crusty old characters on your street, you know, and they would sort of go, you kids, you get off my lawn, you know, take your baseball to the school playground, darn it. I'll put cayenne pepper on your tongues. Get out of here, you know. So that's not my attitude here on my street, but it's funny to think, yeah, here I am, 71, going, yeah, I'm taking care of my lawn with a smile on my face and just grateful to have another day to serve the Lord.
Speaking of kids, you mentioned kids. I actually host our Kids Cookie Break radio show Saturday mornings, and I cannot tell you how much I love your Uncle Stonehill's Hat album and how much we play it, and people still request it. And I have to tell you, until not too long ago, I did not realize that Terry Scott Taylor produced the album, but it makes total sense to me. I love both of your senses of humor. But yeah, we need another kids album, All the Wondrous Pies. We need another one.
I got to tell you, first of all, Terry is a dear old friend, and he's just an absolute genius. He actually co-wrote and co-produced the record, and we had so much fun. I mean, you could hear the laughter between the notes. We were grown men laughing in the recording studio until we had tears in our eyes making that record. And the cool thing is that I found, as I've traveled the country, that I've had adults come up to me and say and thank me for the record. And they say, you know what, my kids know every word to every song, but man, I get some of the nuances and your loopiness on a whole nother level. You know, the younger kids will get it on their level, and they love the storyline, but adults, you know, get some of the other festive stuff, you know, on their level. So I'd have these parents saying, man, you know, my son wants to listen to this every morning going to school, and it's fine with me because I get as entertained as he does. So it's kind of a really, in essence, it's a musical project for children of all ages.
Oh, it is. So
I'm
true.
So glad. Thank you.
Yeah, I have grown-ups, big kids, who tell me they like to listen to the Kids Cookie Break, even though there aren't kids in the house. I think they love novelty songs, kind of that Dr. Demento kind of thing. Thank you for your music. We love it. We really, really do.